Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Loveline is meant for an adult audience. Loveline may contain sexually oriented content. Listener discretion is advised. Loveline with Dr. Chris starts.
3, 2, 1.
Now.
All right. Here we go. About to do another night of Loveline, starting the week off right. Question of the night. It's up on our Loveline IG page. Tonight's question is, what should the curriculum include when teaching kids sex ed? Ah, yes. Think about all the things that you wish you had been taught or had learned that might have helped you navigate your sex life far better. Man, sex ed right now is pretty much just centered around reducing the anxiety of adults. It's not really rooted in actual education. In fact, we withhold a lot of information. Education would be topics that children are going to truly encounter and have to have critical thinking and language around, but that's not at all the case. It's usually just rooted in don't have sex, because instead of knowing that it's going to happen and arming people with the ways to do it in a healthy way, we just add more fear and anxiety and then just make it seem like it's no fun. So that's our question tonight. Weighing on that. Also, we'll be talking with Dr. Evan Goldstein. I mean, he's always got something mind-boggling to say. Love that guy. And then we'll be doing a little X-Files. We got a good one for you tonight. But let's jump into some news. Porn performers, they're always trying to save us. We reported a couple months ago about the porn performer who was sending out photos if you showed proof of donating money to the Australian wildfires. And she raised, ready for this, millions. She alone raised millions just by offering nude photos. I'm here for it. Y'all, it is 2020. We get to do what we want with our bodies. And please don't think that sexual labor is any different from any other form of body labor, whether you're a server collecting money at a toll booth, a doctor or a therapist. It is all body labor. We are all using different levels of intimacy in ways that are not geared towards what intimacy and certain things were built for. So we're all misusing our moods and our nervous systems. And it's just another powerful way to do it. So porn performers this time, though, are giving money away, are giving content away for donations to Elizabeth Warren. She needs it right now, though. So I understand this. One of the individuals doing it, he says, if you send me a screenshot of you donating to Elizabeth Warren, I'll give you my alt. And if you already have my alt, I'll give you a month of OnlyFans. Now, I didn't know what alt meant. It means like their alternative something or other. Anywho. Essentially, they'll send you a link to a page. But he said a lot of people have DM'd me saying that this was their first presidential donation and that my incentive pushed them to do it, which is awesome, especially someone whose first campaign donation was Warren as well. I love this. So whether or not you give $3 or $500, he'll send you something, and he's already given out 200 subscriptions for donations. I'll be curious to see what the total is. We got a beautiful story here. A Philadelphia tattoo studio is offering free services. I love things like this. It warms my heart. To individuals who have self-harm scars, and basically, they'll cover it. Let's hear a little clip from one of the artists at Crown and Feather Tattoo Company.
So Project Sakura, we wanted to do some kind of charity work when we opened Crown and Feather, and mental health is such a prevalent thing in today's culture. So doing these pro bono tattoos to cover scarring was kind of just our way of giving back. So Kintsakura, is where the word Sukuro is derived from. Basically, this is the process of repairing an item that's been broken with gold.
Yeah.
So we took from that, basically we do these scar cover-ups and repair something that was once broken, now making it more beautiful having been broken.
That's beautiful. He's talking about what's also known as kintsugi, which is, again, finding the beauty in things that are quote-unquote distressed or broken and making them more beautiful. And I love that because individuals with self-harm scars, some of those are very, very deeply triggering and powerful reminders of things that they battled and gone through. They are often with you for life, but some individuals don't identify with those past struggles and identities, and they want a tattoo to kind of reinvent that area. And so they're offering it for free. That's really, really, really stunning. I can see some other places maybe stepping up and doing that. Beautiful. A Japanese company, they are allowing you to bring your cat to work to counter stress. We'll talk a little bit more about this when we come back, because I have 1,000 thoughts about this, so I do want to come back to this one. Question of the night. It's up on our Loveline IG page. Listening to Loveline with Dr. Chris on the new channel Q and radio.com.
Loveline. This is Loveline with Dr. Chris
on Channel Q.
All right, question of the night. It's up on our Loveline IG page. Today's question is, what should the curriculum include when teaching kids sex ed? Oh man, there's a lot to add in there, because sex ed as it's currently taught, it's weak. Leaves all the important stuff out. Before we went to break, I was starting to tell this story about a Japanese company that allows employees to bring their cats to work. Now, they claim it's in service to counter stress. Don't you love that? Instead of looking at the root cause of stress, the long hours, the expectations, instead they're like, nah, we'll leave all those factors in place and we'll just try to, like, you know, distract you by offering workplace meditation and bring your cat. And it's like, okay, band-aids. Nonetheless, this makes me laugh. This one place in particular, 9 cats total is allowed at one time, only 9 at a time. Sounds kind of like a mess. My cat is a hot mess and would not fare very well in such an environment. Most cats are not open to just being dropped off in new environments. Nonetheless, the famous cat policy was instituted in 2000. So it's been going for a long time in some of these places over in Japan. What makes me laugh is, even in the article, they were saying that although they encourage the cats there, there's also some negative things that result, such as cats walking on a phone and cutting off the call, or also shutting down computers by walking on the keyboards and hitting different off switches. So, I mean, my cat is a little jerk and loves to sit in whatever I'm doing. I would get no work done. Like, I'm imagining my cat in my office making weird sounds, clawing at things. I mean, my job, it wouldn't do too well. Even here at the radio station, I can't imagine a cat running around knocking things over, hitting buttons. God knows what kind of alarms would be going off. I mean, it sounds like a mess. Okay, let's talk about sleeping in the nude. I am one of those people, shocker to some, maybe not to others. I don't know. It depends on how you've decided I live in the world. I do not sleep nude. I do not. I sleep in underwear. I think it's kind of like what happens with the weighted blanket. I like feeling contained and quote unquote held. And so I like having a heavy blanket on me. I like wearing underwear. I like that sense of, I guess the word is kind of containment and pressure. Like, it's like a holding pattern, symbolic holding. But studies are showing sleeping naked is good for your relationship, your health, and your quality of sleep. This is interesting. So only 8% of people sleep naked. That's low. That is low. 74% of people wear pajamas to bed. Now, I don't full on wear pajamas. I mean, to me, when I hear the word pajamas, I think of matching top and matching bottoms. 74% of people wear matching little outfits every night. I mean, that sounds ridiculous to me. I mean, do pajamas count as, like, you know, a tank top and sweatpants? I mean, I don't really know what falls under their operational definition, but I need answers. But how does Sleeping Naked help us? Because that's a lot of claims, that it can help your health, your relationship, and your quality of sleep. But actually looking deeper into this, I can see why. First off, it's the whole skin-to-skin piece. You know, laying next to someone to sleep while naked. I mean, that is a lot of closeness and intimacy. I mean, that is like full body to body for long periods of time. I can't do that. You can touch me for a little bit, but once I'm asleep, you gotta scooch over. I get really hot, but it allows for sex to happen, spontaneous sex. Okay, that's cool. Also, feelings of closeness and intimacy. Really powerful bonding neurochemicals are released when you sleep next to someone. I get it. I got it. Also, it helps improve sleep because of the temperature drop. Now, that's odd to me. I get why sleeping naked makes you cooler, and that coolness keeps your body temperature going downward, and that means you're not going to overheat, and that means you're going to sleep well. I got that. But like, I wear clothing and I just don't have a lot of blankets on me, and I have the air conditioner on. So I feel like that's another way you can do that too. Because my whole thing about sleeping naked is you better be down to clean your sheets a lot, because your dirty oils, hair product, body oils, sweat, all that is getting sponged up by your sheets. You should be cleaning your sheets at least once a week anyway, but I feel like I'd want to do it more often if I was sleeping naked. I don't know. I guess it also depends on what you're doing in bed. Anyway, so it helps with your body temperature. Here we go. Okay, good. So they're weighing on this as well. They're saying the suggestions, if you're going to sleep naked, invest in good bedding, wash it frequently. I'm totally down with that. Also, if you keep your bedroom on the cool side, the benefits of sleeping naked is you won't have to strip down like a sauna. Yeah, I don't know. I'm most people where I like the air conditioning going all the time. Even in the dead of winter at my home, the air conditioning is pumping. So like, it is really hard to ever get to a warm sauna like state at my place. Anyway, they're all about it. This article goes into a lot more depth. I don't know. I'm not a fan. I feel too exposed if I'm sleeping naked. I also live in California. We have earthquakes. I'm imagining an earthquake happening. It's late at night. There's no electricity. I'm running around naked trying to figure out where I'm going and what's happening. I just think it sounds dangerous. No? I actually had someone tell me they thought it was strange that I wore so much clothing to bed. But that I don't know that many naked sleepers, so I don't know anything about that. All right, coming up next, though, we're going to be talking about things that show up in sex therapy, some of the ridiculous things that sex therapists have to hear, and also talking about a sex ed program that was training teens to suck their partner's toes. Oh, yes. That's what's happening in the current state of America. All right. You're listening to Loveline with Dr. Chris on the new channel Q and radio.com.
Loveline. This is Loveline with Dr. Chris
on channel Q.
All right. Question of the night. It's up on our Loveline IG page. We'll be breaking that on down later in the show, as well as doing a little X-Files. Why? Because it's Monday night. So much we can learn about and laugh about here, and all the issues of people with their exes. It's never dull. We have so much material for that segment that we could do it like twice an hour. All right. So, man, this story is kind of amazing. A dad is upset at the school that his daughter goes to because she came home with a leaflet that tells teens to, and I quote, suck toes rather than have sex. Freaking hilarious. His daughter's 14. She comes home with this. The dad says, I'm upset. My daughter's school should not be promoting fetishes. So is your issue just with fetishes or that they're promoting physical sexuality? The leaflet was called 101 Ways to Show Someone You Love Them Without Having Sex. But see, this is where it gets really interesting, because what's your definition of sex and what's your definition of fetishes? This becomes really fascinating to me. Because to my mind, putting someone's toes in your mouth is a form of sex. And so it's not one of 101 ways to show someone love without having sex. That is sexual to me. So putting toes in their mouth isn't? I mean, like, where do you draw the line? I'm just curious. I haven't read this pamphlet. Basically, the father also found out that children younger than 9 were also given the material. Oh, my God. I love his quote. He says, there's tons of things she can do that don't involve getting someone's big toe in her mouth. I mean, look, I half support him, I half don't, right? I mean, here's the thing. It's going to come up later in the show. We do our question tonight about sex ed. Here's the thing. Kids are going to have sex, and it's about arming them with education and options and letting them decide for themselves what they're most comfortable doing. The idea of preventing as long as possible doesn't work. Fear and anxiety-induced tactics don't work, and trying to move them away from sex, aka abstinence only, doesn't work. The research shows consistently, there's no doubt or gray area in this, the research shows consistently that abstinence only sex ed, which means sex ed where we literally focus only on not having sex, that it does not work. Not only does it not work, the only thing it does do is make people more confused and unaware of how to take care of themselves. The research shows consistently that what happens is it delays sex, but not for long. And it delays sex, but when they finally have sex, which is healthy to have sex, sexual developmental milestones need to be reached, that when they finally have sex, they have higher rates of pregnancy, STDs, STIs, and sexual violence. Why? Because these individuals are not prepared to have sex. They don't know communication. They don't know language. They don't know boundaries. They don't know consent. They are missing out on all the tools, resources, and skills that sex ed should be teaching. So when it's time to finally have sex, which will come, they're not prepared for it. They don't know how to ask for safer sex practices. They don't have anything with them. And so unsafe sex happens. They don't have condoms. They're not aware of PrEP. They don't understand what they like, what to ask for. So boundaries don't exist. It just leads to more problems. So the best form of sex ed is honest, frank information. Here's what sex is. Here's what you can expect. Conversations around safer sex, health and wellness. I mean, all different kinds of things. So anyway, that's what happens. You leave it in the hands of the school system, who are not the right ones to be deciding the curriculum, and there you go, sucking toes. Which, by the way, there's nothing wrong with that. There is, as far as I know, no SDs or STIs that are transferred from sucking toes. I'm down with that. Now, I don't know that I want to see the 14-year-olds all laying around sucking on each other's toes, but for those that are afraid of quote-unquote sex, which I would actually think that most of them would say that that does fall under being sexual. But if not, what are you worried about? They're not having sex. They're just sucking toes. And if that is sex, well, then talk to them about other practices as well. I mean, you can't have it both ways. You know what I mean? I don't know. It makes me laugh, though. God bless it. Okay. What are some other common worries that sex therapists hear all the time? I think this is really, really powerful topic, because these are the kinds of things that can kind of like liberate everyone. A couple things always come in. The first one's always, am I normal? That's just something that comes into general therapy practices all the time, is am I normal? Like, we live in this cultural mandate of trying to be as normal as possible, but that really moves away from truth and authenticity, but everyone wants to feel normal. So a lot of the work in sex therapy is just normalizing or confidence building around our diverse creative ways of being. But second one is, sometimes people are not sure what good sex is or bad sex is. And that's where I'm always like, I know people need a lot of practice, but more importantly, it's just about focusing on the kinds of things that you like, right? So when people talk about not understanding what kind of lover they are, or trying to be a better lover, a couple things. First off, practice. Sex is not something you can just talk about. It's something you got to get out there and actually do to get better at. And so people that are single, get out there and have as much sex as possible. Learn different relational styles, learn communication skills, boundaries. So many beautiful things can come from that. Also, seeing every new partner you're with as a virgin. I don't know who this person is. I don't know what's going to happen when we come together as partners. Don't go in thinking you understand what every partner is going to like. Everyone's different. Also, ask. It's one of my favorite things to say to clients all the time. I don't know. Ask. I don't know. Ask. There's a lot of things conversation-wise that go on behind closed doors that we don't share with our partners. Got to ask them. It's really profound to say that. Also, finally, just focus on the kinds of things that you like. Something really powerful in that. Sex is one of the few spaces where, yes, there's another human being there. We want to take that into account. But center yourself. If each partner as an adult is worried about themselves and centered on what feels good to them and asking for what they like, then all's well. And so I always tell people, go back to yourself, sit in the moment and think about what you would like to have happen. There's something really powerful about centering ourselves like that. We get kind of hung up on this whole idea as to like what we've seen on television. You know what I mean? Like how we think things are supposed to go. Not always the most realistic thing there, that television. Coming up next, we're going to be sliding into those DMs, and they'll be sitting down talking with Dr. Evan Goldstein. You're listening to Loveline with Dr. Chris on the new Channel Q and radio.com.
Loveline
with Dr. Chris
on Channel Q.
All right, we're back. Question of the night. It's up on our Loveline IG page. Listen, y'all, I just want to take a little moment here and sit with the listeners and just say, y'all have no idea how much blood, sweat, and tears meme producer Emmy put into trying to put together a show for y'all. If you even knew all the moving parts, and off air, we're sitting here trying to work on some upcoming guests. Y'all don't make it easy. Let me just say, when you hear an expert or guest on the show, please don't think that that came quick and easy, because sometimes the amount of labor we put into getting some of these people booked, it's bananas. It's bananas. Another show, I'll walk y'all through it. But now it's time for some DMs.
Sliding into the DMs.
Sliding the DMs is brought to you by our friends at Trojan Condoms, because it's a big old sexy world. We want you to explore with confidence. The DMs come from our Loveline IG page. So if you want your DM or question asked on air, go into the DMs on the Loveline IG page or give us a call live, 833-LOVE-001, 833-LOVE-001. That's 833-LOVE. 001. Y'all don't like calling in live. You're all about the social media, which we appreciate, but like sometimes you send in these DMs and I'm like, I have 1,000 questions and I want to process it with you and I can't. Here we go though. Tonight's question was, hey, Dr. Chris and team, how to heal trauma bonds and how to stop being unconsciously attracted to toxic people. Thank you. All caps. Love the show. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Well, first off, we can't stop ourselves unconsciously from being attracted to a certain kind of person. What you do hope happens, though, is as you are more conscious and mindful in your dating choices and practices, that you will start to internalize a different level of interest. So you kind of start on the outside first. So the difficult answer is you have to be more conscious and thoughtful. Be aware of the kind of person you're traditionally choosing. A lot of us choose people from our worst. What that means is we don't often meet someone and go, wow, that person's got the bar high. They really challenge me to utilize and access parts of myself that are more difficult for me. This is a match. I want to go on a date with them. Usually it's the opposite. We're like, oh, I feel very comfortable with them, which can sometimes mean I co-sign on their crap and they co-sign on my crap, and we call it working out and matching. So you want to be really conscious about what you're using to determine who you find compatible and who you don't. Really sit with that. I know what I had to do. I took a moment and I was like, wait a second, I keep dating a very similar personality type. And I had to, again, consciously and mindfully date and say to myself, what am I using as to determine who I will spend more time with and who I'll see again? And I came to see that I was confusing intensity with compatibility. And remember, intensity is one coin with two different versions. The positive end of the intensity is, wow, I feel loved. I feel so loved and so loved so hard. But then the dark side is they're going to hate and possibly be equally as passionate in their frustration and anger with you. It's very common for some people to misinterpret neutrality or peace or serenity as boring. And that's what I had to work through, is that people that I have lower level drama with, I was like, wait a minute, there's no passion. Oh no, the passion's there. It's just not as profound. But that also means the fighting and all that is a little watered down, and that's a benefit. So yeah, so the unconscious will alleviate itself when you're more conscious out in the world. And what you have to just do is be very thoughtful about the people you're choosing and why you're choosing them. Meaning sometimes go into your discomfort. It's okay to date people that make us a little uncomfortable, because often that can mean the bar is high. They're challenging us to be more of an adult versus the people we tend to stick around with that we call matching. Yeah, lessons. Sign the DMs is brought to you by our friends at Trojan Condoms. It's a big old sex world, and we want you to explore with confidence. Coming up next, Dr. Evan Goldstein, and then a little X-Files. Listening to Loveline with Dr. Chris on the new channel Q and radio.com.
Loveline
with Dr. Chris
on Channel Q.
All right, we're back, and tonight we're talking with Dr. Evan Goldstein.
Oh, hi, doctor.
Oh, hello, doctor.
Welcome back, sir.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, welcome back to LA.
I love LA.
So what do you got for us tonight?
Most popular sex toys by state.
You know, you got to love that, because when you guess what you think is going to be what, you're always wrong. Because we did a game a couple months ago along the lines of like, what's most popular kink? And it was like shocking.
It's
like
amazing.
You thought New York City would be like the kinkiest. It's like, no, Indiana. And you're like, what?
Totally.
I can't wait to hear this. Yeah. All right, let's do it.
So I think one of the things to think about is the sex toy industry is enormous. It was valued at $15 billion in 2016.
Whoa.
And now it's increased to like $26.5 billion.
Whoa.
Just when you think of that, forget even knowing what we're going to talk about.
Yes.
It's buco bucks and popularity. And what goes on behind people's doors, you and I just cannot
speak for yourself.
You
I
can?
Know, I don't know what you're doing behind closed doors.
You're in it.
I know what I'm doing, and it ain't boring, boo.
That's awesome. That's awesome. So I think, you know, one of the things was we did a study in 2018 And we redid this study, and it was kind of pulling from Google Shopping and really gave us some interesting stuff. I think one of the things to think about is in 2018, the most popular sex toys in the United States were dildos.
That makes sense to me. Yeah, I think because they're probably not that threatening to people.
Correct.
Yeah.
However, it was interesting. We added a new category as kind of, you know, looking at this saying, all right, well, where can we put in various male sex toys? And so the infamous Fleshlight came in.
That's right.
And it was huge. I mean, everybody's doing that. It's kind of insane. So the Fleshlights really took over. Turns out, obviously, that these sex toys are top toy in the nation by state. There were 10 states where the Fleshlights were the most positive.
I like hearing that because I think sometimes people think that male-bodied sexuality is very lazy and we just want to like rub one out. And this tells me that people are willing to take the time and money to like purchase a product, use a product, maybe clean a product.
Totally. So, and I hope they clean it.
Well, again, as you shared on our last segment, last time you were on, about people using the same razor on their face and their boot and their butts, that's like 6 months old. I don't know.
I don't know either.
I don't know either. But maybe that's the takeaway. Clean your sex toys. Like, we do talk about that frequently. Like, clean that stuff.
Yes, yeah. Yes, totally. Especially from an STD perspective, if you did have one, like, fumigate that so that it's not... You know, not an issue. So it was interesting when you look at dildos, still second most popular sex toy by state this time around. Now, bondage gear actually lost some popularity. We noticed that bondage gear decreased from 2018. It was the most popular toy category in 9 states 2 years ago and has actually decreased down to 7 states.
Huh.
Strap-ons actually gained popularity.
I'm proud of that.
Is that awesome?
I'm proud of that. I think that's such a powerful move away from, you know, toxic masculinity, homophobia, guy, you know, male identified people with their butts. They're like, let's do it. It's fun.
100%.
I'm so proud of that.
I was like, that's awesome, you know? And it's the most popular sex toy in 6 states, including Florida, New York, North Carolina, compared to it was only 4 states in 2018.
Proud of
so
y'all.
Peg away.
Proud of y'all. Peg away.
Peg away.
I never shied.
It's good for my industry, right?
That's right. It keeps you in business.
It totally
y'all.
Does. Crazy oh my
that.
God. And then we looked at where my offices are. I am part of Bespoke Surgical, and we have offices in New York and LA. Most sought after sex toys in these is still somewhat vanilla, which is the dildo.
Okay. You know, so goals for 2020.
You know, goal is for 20. Right. Absolutely. But let's look here. In 2018, you know, the most popular sex toy in New York was the cock ring. And in LA, it was the bondage gear. And then this year, 2020, it switched over from back to the dildos. And, you know, maybe it's because women outnumber men where they're using that much more in their sex play.
Okay.
But I thought this kind of brought in some interesting aspects as it relates to toys. You know, toys itself is so much more accepting. I think that we're going to see it over and over. Just one, it feels really great. Two, it allows you to really, really hone into what works for you sexually and then bridges the gap of what you want, you know, when you're really playing with other humans instead of toys.
Yeah. And for me, I like that for people that struggle with getting the erections they want, maintain the erections they want, it provides a secondary way for them to still drive pleasure with their partner, and it can take some pressure off the penis.
Totally.
Because, my God, we are still a little too penetratively obsessed.
100%. And then I think also, one thing we didn't look at, but we have in other studies, which is, do people use sex toys together? I still feel like there's a lot of apprehension with that, but I think it's so liberating, and you can really analyze, you know, you and your partner's pleasures in such a different way with toys that I'm such a huge advocate, you know, and anyone that's straight, anal toys, I am so, so an advocate for. I think that especially in the male with the prostate, the orgasms that you get with toys anally is way beyond anything, and you have to just lose the inhibitions.
And it's interesting just about confidence around sex play use, because I try to consider myself further along than a lot of people, and I try to hold myself accountable to being a little more confident sex positive. But with new partners, I myself will sometimes bump into my own anxiety about the vulnerability of being like, hey, like, let's try some of the toys I have. So I can appreciate how that can feel for others if I sometimes struggle with that. But it's a beautiful moment when people are like, oh, really? That's all you got? And I'm like, all right, what do you got to show me?
Bigger, better.
Right. Bigger, faster, louder.
But I will say, whenever you're using toys, the first thing to do is, obviously besides the lube and all that, is use it on your own first. Don't bring it in and let other people play until you've kind of mastered it, because I do see people not being communicative as they should, and then injury potentially can happen. So I'm all for big and long and whatever you want, but do it on your own terms, making sure that it actually is a positive thing for you.
Yeah, which was horrifying when I was paying attention to the fact that some people still purchase numbing agents.
Yes, yes, yes. And we talk a lot about that. You know, numbing agents... You know, even also on a drug perspective, you know, when you use numbing agents or you're using drugs systemically, what happens is that you lose the inhibitions of pain.
Yeah.
And the reality is that, you know, you can cause a lot of damage from that. So I'm all for drug enhancement
and totally what you want to do. But have pain awareness.
Exactly. And have pain awareness, or at least prove that you can take what you want at that time.
Did you say prove?
Prove to yourself.
Oh, prove to yourself. All right. Dr. Evan Goldstein, where can people find you?
Instagram, Facebook. I blog on Medium. Our practice is Bespoke Surgical New York, LA. And Dr. Dr. Evan Goldstein on some of the other platforms.
Okay. And next time you're on, let's play a little game of what is this on my booty?
Yes, we are going to play.
What is it?
Yeah, we are going to go there. Actually, are we asking people to send their booty pics?
We're going to discuss that, and we'll circle back and figure that out.
We got
to talk to the others that be and see what kind of legalities
we're getting into. Stay tuned for booty pics.
All right, Dr. Evan Goldstein, pleasure as always. Question of the night, it's up on our Loveline IG page, so weigh in on that. We'll be breaking that on down. You're listening to Loveline with Dr. Chris on the new channel Q and radio.com.
Loveline. This is Loveline with Dr. Chris
on channel Q.
Ooh, yes. You know what that means. It's time for the X-Files. Wah, wah, wah. All right, this is where we get to share those juicy, gory details of exes. This one's a good one. Hot off the presses. A California woman divorces her husband of 22 years because he voted for Trump. Bam, bam, bam. Yes, her husband revealed to friends during a lunch that he had planned to vote for the controversial Republican candidate. Oh, man, she said, it opened up areas between us I had not faced before. She has separated from her conservative husband. Now, some people might jump in and say, wow, things had to have been a little rocky then if that was enough to just push it over. And maybe that's true. Maybe she was looking for, like, you know, the big reasoning to get out, and he definitely gave it to her. Or not, you know, because again, what really frustrates me is when people say that political differences are just differences of opinion. We are conflating two separate things. There's a difference between opinions and politics, such as they are now. An opinion is something that is not tied to someone's safety, mental health, or their worth or value as a human being. An opinion is something more neutralized, like I like chocolate, you like vanilla. An opinion is I prefer the air conditioner cooler, and someone else saying I prefer it hotter. When we're talking about human rights, someone's worth as a person, discrimination, all these other factors, that's no longer about opinion. That's politics. That is our integrity. That's our character. And that matters. If someone is okay with children in cages, with abortion rights being taken away, with gay people being exterminated, with racism and misogyny, we're not talking about opinion anymore. We're talking about politics, integrity, and someone's character. And I personally don't want to date or socialize in any capacity with people that don't think certain human beings have rights and value just inherently as people on this planet. I don't value people that think in those terms. And again, that's not opinions. That's someone of that kind of character isn't someone who I see as healthy in the world. So anyway, she's got my support. She really does. I couldn't do it. Couldn't do it. I can't do it, as I said, even with people that are friends. You know what I mean? That kind of stuff is real. That kind of stuff is real. Okay, but I got a really good one for next week. So y'all going to have to come back on next Monday to hear the other one. Oh, I was going to do them both, but I'm not doing them both tonight. We're holding this one over for next time. But a few things to go through with you guys. Number one, go on my IG because I will be coming to Albuquerque the first weekend of March. I had to actually look and see what month it is. I literally was like, what's going on? That is the 6th. Yes. So get your tickets. Part of my book and lecture tour. And then I'll be coming to Dallas in April. This is all my social media. So go on there to see where I'll be traveling and lecturing. Also, the DMs. They come through our Loveline IG page. If you got a DM for us, slide into our DMs there and let us know. Also, game night coming up Thursday night. So if you want to go head-to-head with me to win a Channel Q prize package, also slide into the DMs on our IG page and tell producer Emmy that you want to go head-to-head with me. Coming up next, question of the night. Tonight's question is about things that are missing from sex ed. So weigh in on that. We'll be breaking that on down when we come back. And then slide in into those DMs. Listening to Loveline with Dr. Chris on the new Channel Q and radio.com.
Loveline
with Dr. Chris
on Channel Q.
All right. Question of the night time. Tonight's question.
Of the night.
I always forget that one for some reason, that audio. All right. Tonight's question is about curriculums for sex ed. What is left out? There's a lot left out. surprise twist right there. There's a lot left out. We got to do a way better job, which is partially why my job even exists. But let's see what you all had to say. First off, someone said something other than just condom use. Teach options for birth and STD prevention. Yeah, condoms are important, but there's a lot of ways of practicing safer sex, and we should cover all of them. Why? Because that's what the word educate means. Educate doesn't mean leave things out. Educate means make people aware, knowing that they're going to make decisions. I think one of the arguments I've heard before is that people somehow think education is promotion, that to educate someone on a topic is to promote that topic. But it's very odd how that only gets applied to sex. Any other topic, we are all about teaching practices just in case. We use life vests when we boat. Not because we're promoting you jumping out of the canoe or the boat or crashing it, but because we know that accidents happen. Seatbelts. We don't educate people on using seatbelts and put them in cars because we're promoting driving fast, recklessly, texting, or driving into people or things, but it's because we know accidents happen. Same thing with sex. Educating them about all the ways to take care of themselves and protect themselves isn't to promote anything, but again, it's a special case when it's sex-based. Somebody else said, as far as our question of the night, what should the curriculum include? Someone said sex organ health. I've never heard it said like that. The details of birth before, during, and after. Ah, that's a good one. I haven't actually heard that before. Somebody else said consent, sexting, pleasure for penis and vagina owners, birth control options, and getting tested. Yeah, consent is slowly starting to get in there. Sexting, not in there because, again, they think we're promoting it, even though, again, we'll talk about that in another show. But yes, I just don't have the energy to unpack each one. Get me fired up. Other things people said are missing from the sex ed curriculum. Virginity as a cultural concept. Play the field, ! And also be safe and consent is ongoing. Bam, bam, bam. Love them all. Somebody else said, I think every PE teacher or health teacher should have an anonymous Dropbox for kids. Huh, I actually like that. But that would mean they'd actually have to then educate. They'd get questions and topics that people want covered, and I would hope that they'd actually follow through on giving children the information they're requesting, aka education. Same person said, I don't think they should segregate boys and girls. We can learn from both sides. I agree. First off, because there's more than just boys and girls. There's people that are non-binary and trans, and they don't necessarily fall into those two options only. And I also agree with you. Part of the problem and part of what builds rape culture is us singling people out in terms of their gender and acting as though they're opposites and they don't understand each other and socializing them that way. And then all of a sudden, boom, people don't know how to interact or engage each other. They don't know how to deal with arousal because we don't keep them together, learning how to role play, discuss, commingle. It's a problem. Somebody else said, as far as things are left out of the curriculum, oh, they got a third answer too. You got good ones. Birth control, consent, religious views, and political views of the act. I like the political view part. Somebody else said, safe sex, all ways of birth control, the morning after pill, and that it's okay to have sex. I like the discussion of the morning after pill. Again, it's not to promote anything, even though there's nothing wrong with using that. But again, to acknowledge its existence is not to promote it as much as it's to educate on all options. And I like what you said about it's okay to have sex. We leave that one out. Somebody else said everything from using protection, STD to childbirth, bam, bam. A lot of that's in there. Someone else said, how do you define sex ed? Talk around the language of sex and bodies and love. Somebody else said masturbation. Yeah, I don't think that's included. It depends on the curriculum, though. Each state's different. It's kind of funky when you really see what's left out and what's included. Somebody else said homosexual sex education. That's right. Not everyone in the class is hetero, and the same-sex sexuality is left out. I know. It's got to be in there. Where else are people supposed to learn about this stuff, right? I mean, honestly, I don't want school doing sex ed. That's my first issue. But if it doesn't take place there, it's not going to take place at home. I wish we had other venues for that to really happen. Or I wish they were bringing in actual experts. No shade on the health or PE teachers, but y'all aren't really trained for that kind of thing. Question tonight, curriculum, what should include for sex ed? Someone else said alternative ways to sexually explore that are safe from STD and pregnancy. How about toe sucking? How about that? I think toe sucking is a really, really, really powerful, safer sex practice. Someone else said discussion about pleasure. Yeah, that's an important one because pleasure is very frequently left out of the conversation around sex ed. Somebody said, I love this answer. What's left out of the curriculum and we need to put it in is how to mentally process the first time. That it might not all be picturesque and that it's okay. I like that a lot. Thank you for that one. Somebody else said consent. That's getting in there a little bit. How to put on a condom properly. I think that's actually in there. Somebody else said sexuality, gender expression, types of contraception, laws surrounding abortion. Yeah, I got to talk about abortion in there. Finally, STIs and how having one shouldn't be a negative stigma and also around getting tested. Yeah, we got to do a lot of reducing of stigma around that. Stigma is powerful stuff. All right, thanks to those that participated. Coming up next, going to be sliding into those DMs. You're listening to Loveline with Dr. Chris on the new channel Q and radio.com.
Loveline. This is Loveline with Dr. Chris
on channel Q.
All right, we're back. Now it's time to slide into those DMs.
Sliding into the DMs.
Sliding the DMs is brought to you by our friends at Trojan Condoms because it's a big old sexy world. We want you to explore with confidence. Here we go. Hey, Dr. Chris, how can I work on being more authentic and vulnerable in relationships? I'd like to be more authentic when it comes to romance and otherwise. I love this. I like these keywords, open, vulnerable, authentic. That means to truly be known. That's the qualities of intimacy. How do you know when you have an intimate relationship or being intimate? You're open, there's vulnerability, you're authentic. A lot of people live their entire relational lives protecting themselves from being truly known or playing games, especially in early dating. Instead of dating to be known, they're just trying to get people. And so there's a lot of misrepresentation. There's a lot of crappy dating coachy advice out there about how to get someone. And all of that is the opposite of being vulnerable, open, and authentic. It also prevents us from really connecting, and it also prevents us from really finding something meaningful and compatible. But for you who wants to practice being open, vulnerable, and authentic, first off, practice it in all your relationships. It's a generalized skill. And so every time you encounter a person, you can be practicing those qualities. Family members, colleagues, loved ones, sex partners, people you're dating, your server, just really practice being more open. When someone says, how's your day? Tell them. When someone says, what you've been up to? Tell them. Like, really practice sitting longer and deeper and more powerfully with people. Also, know that authenticity and vulnerability require anxiety. If we're not going into our anxiety, then we're not working on those things because we are really building intimacy and being authentic when we're saying things that make us a little anxious because it's a little too close, a little too vulnerable. So that's the signal that you're really doing that work. When you're starting to feel the anxiety building up, sit in it longer, take it one step further, say one more thing. It's about building tolerance and stretching that. Other point is, you have to be okay not being liked. And that doesn't mean that it's conflictual to be vulnerable and authentic, but it just means I'm not thinking I need to be liked, so I need to say what this person would want to hear, or I need to say what I think they want to hear. That's moving away from vulnerable, authentic, and open. It's the opposite. It's, listen, I want them to stay in relationship to me, but I'm going to say what needs to be said. And it might not be what they wanted to hear, and that's okay. I'm allowed to disappoint and let people down. And then finally, it's always compassionate. I don't think that there's anything empowered or healthy about someone who tells it like it is or is a straight shooter. Nope. Being healthy and being empowered means you have compassion. And so not everything is said. Some things are withheld, where you translate how you say it. That can still be authentic and vulnerable. It's still said, but you say it in a loving, compassionate way. Right? So again, practice in all your relationships, allow yourself to be made anxious, don't move forward trying to say what you think people want to hear and always say it wrapped up in compassion, because you can still be vulnerable and authentic while compassionate. The minute it moves into harsh, it's becoming anti-relationship. It's anti-vulnerable. It's anti-authenticity. So sliding the DMs is brought to you by our friends at Trojan Condoms. It's a big old sex world. Want you to explore with confidence. That's our show. WeAreChannelQ.com is where you go to get our show podcasted, all of our past episodes. Post them, share them. We'll be back tomorrow night. And as always, thanks for hanging out with me. Have an awesome, awesome night.